Hello and welcome to Don't Be So Dramatic. I'm Steve Bradley.
I'm Jason Beamore.
And today we are joined by our guest, Mark Channon.
Hello.
Welcome
Hello.
To the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So, Mark, you are an actor. You had a very extensive career. Tell us about that.
Well, when did I get... So we actually went to college together,
yes,
didn't we, Jason?
Did. Yes.
Back in 1987.
Don't say that too loudly.
A long time ago. So I actually came down from Aberdeen. So I lived in Scotland. I came down when I was 15, studied at Arts Ed. And then I guess for the first 10 years, I worked in lots of musicals. So I did things like 42nd Street, did Crazy for You in the West End, did things like Anna Get Your Gun. So I did quite a lot of tours and things. Tap Dogs, did those kind of shows.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Tap Dogs, great show.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. It was the most tiring show I've ever done in
my life. I can imagine.
I used to be really fit back then. And then I guess I started getting more into straight plays and comedies and things like that. And yeah, and I actually met my wife years later in a show called Singing in the Rain. We did it at the West Yorkshire Playhouse and then we transferred into the National. That was back in about 2000.
Which I saw.
Did you see it?
I saw you as well.
Yes, I know. I'm just kidding.
Which is very good. You're very good in it.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant. And well, what we're going to be talking about today is learning lines and improving your memory, because you run a memory school, an online memory school, and you're a tutor, private, you do corporate as well, gigs for improving people's memories. So how did that come about, from acting to suddenly being this sort of memory expert?
Well, it was actually, it happened back in the early 90s, and it was a bit of a fluke, really. There was a friend of mine, he was actually a director, Steve, his name was, and I was sharing a flat with him, and he ran into the room one day. He was always very dramatic. Steve, hey, Steve, lots of energy. And he said, remember these 20 things. And I was like, okay, go on then. It's a bit random. And he told me these 20 items. I did about 5. You know, my memory was good for some things, not so good for facts, not so good for names. Quite good at remembering lines and things back then. But, and then he said, okay, now try this technique. And he shared this technique with me. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And I did all 20 forwards and backwards in sequence. And that kind of blew my mind, because I'd never experienced anything like it at that time. And I think nowadays people kind of know, they think mnemonics, memory techniques, something about pictures. I'd never heard anything, and it blew my mind, and that really got me into it. And I was acting, I wasn't acting actually, I was working in a bar at the time when I first got into it, and I started to use it in the bar. It was in the theatre bar where I did Crazy for You. I ended up being in the show a year later, but I used to use it to remember people's names and their drinks, just so I could get tips. So I'd remember people's names. I'd go, Jason, your gin and tonic's just over there. And they go, oh, great. And I get a little tip. So it was great. And that really got me into it. And then things kind of progressed. I ended up getting to the show Crazy for You. And then my agent called me up one day. And she went, Mark, do you have any ideas for a game show? I thought, okay, again, a little bit random. Yes. And she said, I've got a friend. He's in a production company. It was called Action Time. And they're looking for shows. And she kind of knew I was always coming up with ideas. And I went, give me half an hour. And it just hit me. And I thought, a memory game show. And literally within half an hour, I wrote this show called Memory Masters. It was Monkhouse's Memory Masters.
So you created the whole show within half an hour?
I did. It was like 30 minutes. But I'd been thinking about memory for a long time. And it just all came pouring out. And I didn't have a laptop, so I wrote it on a sheet of A4 paper, plain, and literally, you know, with a pencil. Yeah. And I just sent it in. And a week later, Stephen Leahy, who was running the Action Time back then, got me in. He went, we love it. Tell me about it. And he was, and I, so I sort of pitched the game show, how it would work. And then he said to me, who's going to teach the contestants? And I was an actor. And you know, as an actor, you never say no. Can you ride a horse? Yes. You go learn to ride a horse. And he was like, who's going to teach the contestants? And I went, I'll teach the contestants. And I thought, oh, what have I done? Because I'd been using the memory techniques. I'd never trained anyone. Exactly. So that really got me into the whole world of coaching and training. I did the game show. I ended up doing lots of training ever since, really, last 20 years.
So what... Firstly, what was the 20 things technique, and the thing that you sort of sparked you off into it? What was that first technique? How did you remember all those 20 things?
Yeah, so it was a technique called the memory palace. And it's essentially where you take items in a room and then you attach objects to them. And because you know generally where the items are, where you live, you remember the information.
Right.
So let's say, to give you an example, a good example is maybe the body system. So you use different parts of your body. It's the same idea to remember stuff. So we could do a little demo, if you want.
Yeah. Let's give it a try. Jason, you're in the middle. Let's use you as an example.
Okay, go on then.
Okay, so actually, you can join in here as well, Steve.
Okay, see if I can do it.
And we'll see what we do. We might just use items that you get when you go to the shops. So okay. We'll keep it nice and simple. And so imagine on your feet is a fried egg, and you can feel the yolk dripping in between your toes. You feel that yolk,
yeah,
okay?
Thanks. Yeah.
Next, imagine there's some sellotape, and we're going to wrap the sellotape around your knees, and it's big, sticky sellotape, and I don't know why they're doing that to your knees, but someone's taping your knees together. Next, imagine there's some ketchup, and you're pouring ketchup all over your thighs. And maybe a spear. I don't know. It sounds odd, doesn't it? Sounds weird.
It's strange. Yes. Yeah. Carry on.
Okay. So there's ketchup all over your thighs. I'm gonna let you do the next one. There's, I just popped up a cucumber on your behind. I'll let you do that one. Okay.
So, thank you.
Association there. Get your emotions involved. That really makes it stick. And then the next one. Let's imagine that there's a mobile phone on your waist. So there's a mobile phone, and maybe it's one of those 1987 models, you know? You remember that?
Yes.
Like the bricks.
Yes.
Attached to your waist. Let's next imagine there's a car driving around your chest. And what's your favourite car, Steve?
Porsche.
Okay, Porsche. What colour is it?
Silver.
Silver Porsche driving around your chest. You can see it going around there. Right. Next imagine there are two sticks of dynamite sticking out either side of your neck. Like Frankenstein. You wouldn't get that at the shops, actually, would you? Neither a Porsche. Okay. Next, imagine there's a bowl of cornflakes, and you stick the bowl of cornflakes over your face, and the cornflakes are dripping down your face, and you can taste them. Let's imagine that your hair is made of spaghetti. So you've got spaghetti here, and maybe you're pulling it out and eating it. And then finally, if you look up at the ceiling, you can see lots of sausages, hundreds of sausages on the ceiling.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we test it out.
All right, okay.
What should happen is that because we've got great visual memories and because we remember things that we know well, you should remember each one of these things. So what's on your feet?
Eggs.
Egg yolk. Yes. What's on your knees?
Sellotape.
Yeah. Good. What's on your thighs?
Ketchup.
Ketchup. It's competition going here.
Yeah.
What's on your behind?
A cucumber.
Okay. Good. What's on your waist?
Phone.
1987 phone.
Nice. What's on your chest?
Silver Porsche is going round and round.
Oh, there you go. He's thinking ahead now. What's on your neck?
Dynamite.
What's on your face?
Cornflakes.
Good. What's in your hair?
It's gay.
And what's in the ceiling?
Sausages. Wow, God, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. But you know what's more amazing? Is that this will stay with you if you've got clear images and there's some emotion involved, not just for the next 5 minutes or an hour or a day. It can stay with you for weeks by doing it one time.
Oh, my God.
So how does this relate to, line learning obviously is the biggest thing, but does it also relate to, which we'll talk about, but does it relate to blocking, for instance? On stage, if while line learning, because some dancers they imagine where they're going on stage while line learning, would you pick items if you were thinking, what's my blocking, where do I go here and there?
Yeah, you could absolutely do that. You're blocking something, and in your mind you create this mental journey. So you might just go, okay, over there that door's number one, and then table will be number two, and over here this chair will be number three, camera will be number four, something else number five. And in your brain, you can then just mentally rehearse taking that journey. So it's a case of just a little bit of mental rehearsal. And because we've got great spatial memories, and this goes back to when we were hunter-gatherers. Where's the food? Where's the animals that are going to eat me? And this is kind of inbuilt with us. We've got great spatial memories. So we can actually cue these things up and go mentally then retake that journey. And we'll remember the places that we've been. So you could use that as a blocking technique, for example.
Okay. And so to line learning, how the big question that every actor has, and the weirdest things people have to learn lines. There are many strange and good and interesting things. How would you, if you had someone come to you, maybe a young actor that's just come out of drama school that's very nervous about, or an older actor who's, you know, worried now that they think that they're not going to remember their lines so much, which older actors do have that, it's a natural thing.
Yeah.
How would you go about those two separate things? Would they be the same or separate techniques?
So you could think of the process being the same, but really the place that I would start, and I do this when I work with people one-on-one, is that I find out, first of all, how do they operate? It's important to understand that. How do you work now?
About the person.
Figure out about the person. How do you think? What's their modality? So are they more visual, more auditory, more kinesthetic? And then from that, you'll take it from there. There's a specific technique that I use. I kind of call it the recipe for learning scripts or presentations. And it involves things like, you know, what's your intention? Actors, you think about those things anyway.
Yes.
You know, what's the emotional journey of the scene? What's the meaning? You know, what's the subtext of this underneath that? And then you start to think about things like, okay, what's some of the physical actions? And when I say physical action, it might not be something that you'd actually do like in a performance, but there may be actions you can do in order to get a phrase or a word or a sentence or even a paragraph into your head. And then what sits on top of that is what we call visual cues. And a set of visual cues could be something as simple as what you put on your body there. So if you're going to talk about eggs, I don't know why you would, but if you were, for example, you go, what was the first thing I'm going to say? You'd look at eggs and go, oh, I'm going to talk about eggs. And the next thing I'm going to talk about sellotape. And then there's this whole thing about ketchup. And you kind of use those visual images as cues as to what would come next.
Right.
Okay.
So you can base your script on taking certain keywords or certain objects or things that you discuss in the script and using those either in the way that we've just done it with your body to remember the sequence of the events that you talk about to refresh you on where you are on the script. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Or you might just connect the images. So you're taking the things you want to remember, turning them into pictures, and then connecting those pictures together in a story, which guides you as to what will come next. So you could put them on your body or what we call that filing system, or just create a story with it. And as every actor is different. So you'll have some actors who will go, you know what, I only need a picture that represents the idea of where I'm going next. And other actors might go, just when they're learning, I need more images, an image for each sentence even, just to accelerate how quickly they can get all those words into the head. But then once they start working with a script, and they get it into the body, they don't need those pictures anymore. But it will get you there quicker. That's the whole idea.
Right.
I think it's interesting because I think some actors may go, oh, no, may resist to this. May go, oh, my God, I've got to think about pictures as well as this, that, the other. Director wants this, they want this. But I think it's interesting what you just said. It's like rehearsals, is that you eventually don't need it anymore. And it's just there to, as a guide or tool or whatever you want to use. And I think resistance is the opposite of what you're suggesting, basically.
Yeah, that's right. And it allows, and it frees you up almost to play, because you don't keep on referring back to the script. You can just see this picture and go, what does that mean? And so therefore, sometimes you can get a whole different experience or try something out that's completely new. Or you can improvise around something. And ultimately what happens is it gives you more freedom, because you feel more secure with the content, and it gets you there quicker.
So how did this work for you as an actor then? How did you use this yourself?
Yeah, so I mean, that's what I did, because, you know, people sometimes say to me, okay, so how did you use the memory techniques in your life? And everything I do is all about application in the real world, actor, student, professional, whatever you are. For me, as an actor, I used it in auditions primarily. And I used to use it when I was building up characters, but I'd walk into an audition, you got 10, 15 minutes, here's a script. And then I'd literally use this idea of some visual cues so I could walk into the audition without needing to look at the script and be fairly confident I'd be almost word perfect. I wasn't all the time. It didn't really matter, because in the audition. You just want to see, are you right for this thing? And it allowed, it gave me some freedom just to play with that. And even if I wasn't bang on, I was fairly close.
Yeah, and I think people always think that in auditions you have to get every word right anyway, which is not always the case. But if you're using pictures to create at least the essence of the scene, then even if you've got the words wrong, you're showing the people that you're auditioning for, at least you've got an understanding of what's going on, and then they can get from that.
And very often, unless it's the writer, they won't know that you've slightly changed a word, or they probably won't even notice if they're in the moment with you and you're drawing them in. But the visual cues, so for example, if you've got an audition panel and you're using these visual cues, can you sort of see like a lamp in the corner and go, okay, when I see that, I'm going to think of blah 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 and part of the script? So you're using whatever's in the audition room to spark off your memory, is that kind of the thing?
You can do that if you've had some time to prepare, and you can set that up. What usually happens is that the room that you're in isn't the room you can prepare in, so you might just create a story, and what you do with that story is you project it out in front of you. So it's almost like, you know, it's like an auto cue. Yeah. It's like someone's standing in front of you and there's these pictures which represent what you're going to say next right in front of you. So it's like you've got the cue cards.
Yeah.
And rather than seeing these images in the back of your brain, you know, when you're remembering, you literally project them out in front of you.
Yes, because if they're in the back of your head, you've got to actually hoik them out to the front of your head. But if you've visually put them in places or visually, I don't know, decided to... I know this sounds a bit clunky, but maybe move on a certain thing, word, corner, where you visualise, maybe, I don't know if that's another way of putting, I've put a dolphin on the corner there, so I'm going to look at that line and that sort of thing.
And this is going to be very personal for the individual. And so you might, when you're learning it as well, you might do some physical actions in order to just try and get it into your body. You know, and if you use this in, let's say, when you're building up a character, you first start rehearsals, it can just help you get off the book a bit quicker as well.
Yeah, no, that's good, because also really interesting, because a lot of actors like to, I mean, we all like to analyze, but we can analyze too much and analyze the dialogue too much and say, well, look, this is what it says. And then if you get off that pretty soon, you can always refer back to you've got the script always with you. So you're allowing the play, in the moment, you're allowing all that stuff to come through really early in the process, as opposed to being like that and then trying to do it. So it's freeing. It's very freeing.
It is. And so it allows you as an actor just to think and go, what next? Or what if? Or what would I do? Etc. You're not looking at the script going, I've got to say these words. You're just thinking, what's my intent? Why am I here? What am I saying? Etc.
Brilliant. Good. Okay. So you've got a website, so if people want to, out there listening or watching, want to learn more of these techniques, because you've kind of given a bit of a taster into kind of what kind of stuff people can learn, how do people find out more?
You can go to memoryschool.com. There's lots of free, so it's all free content. It's basically a social learning community. You could think of it maybe like Twitter, but for learning. And you can go there and there's lots of free content. There's a specific session called Learn, where there's like 6 hours just of training. Wow. You can go through, and there's more content going up all the time.
Oh, brilliant.
And you have your two books as well, which we
have. Which you have.
Convenient.
How convenient.
To remember anything.
Because an elephant never forgets.
Forgets, apparently. But this was interesting, this one.
One of the first people in the world to become a grandmaster of memory.
Yeah.
And what's your other book?
And the other book. Can you get these on Amazon?
You can.
Yeah. So Kindle?
The Memory Workbook. Yeah. So they do two different things. So How to Remember Anything was all about real life application. So how can improving your memory actually help you in your career, whatever career that you're in?
Right.
And it asks a lot, it gets people to really question themselves and go, okay, why is this important to me? How might I use this? And there's just a ton of examples. Because one of the challenges I found when I first got into memory techniques is that you'd read one example and you go, great, how do I do this other thing? And that wasn't enough. So I tried to give lots of examples there. And the memory workbook takes a slightly different approach. It's a workbook, so it's literally lots of activities, over 100.
Oh, right.
And it looks at memory through the lens of different intelligences.
Yeah.
So how smart are you with numbers? How can memory help you become smarter? Become smarter with words, emotional intelligence. It looks at, you know, pictures and physicality and music. So it was fun writing that one because I got to play lots with different people while I was writing it to just figure out what would work.
Excellent. Oh, right. So you sort of wrote it as a workbook, but you also, for people, but you also, as writing, wrote it while doing it.
Yeah, so while I was coaching people,
yeah,
I'd be trying activities out to see, does this work? Doesn't it work? And so there's some activities in there what my clients have come up with. So I thought, that's great. Can I use that? Yes. That's brilliant.
I stole it
from them, yes. Okay.
Excellent. So those are available on Amazon, The Memory Workbook and How to Remember Anything by Mark Shannon.
Yes.
And memoryschool.com.
Yeah.
And are you on Twitter as well? Can people follow you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. I'm Mark Channon on Twitter.
Mark
just
Channon.
Me.
At Mark Channon. Fantastic.
The one and only.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show and talking to us. I hope everyone out there has enjoyed it, either through the audio, through our podcast, or through YouTube. And if you are watching through YouTube, please subscribe and follow us on Twitter at DBSD Podcast. So that's it for this week. Thanks everyone for listening. I'm Steve Bradley.
I'm Jason B. Moore.
I'm Mark Channon.
Don't be so dramatic.